This is a little bit of a strange word of knowledge, but did anyone have a birthday yesterday? I don't even know. The date must have been the 30th because it's the first today, eh? Did anyone have a birthday? Does anyone know anybody that had a birthday yesterday? You had a birthday yesterday. Oh, you know someone? That's cool. Says no one had a birthday. I felt like God had a word for someone that had a birthday yesterday, and it was around this idea that, you know, when we say, when we're giving our age, most of the time, we give our age based on the truth until we get sort of to an age where we don't like to kind of admit our age. But it actually is something that kind of, we use it as an I am statement. And, you know, I am 21. I am, you know, and I felt like for whoever's birthday it was yesterday, God was depositing something new in them that was going to create a whole new I am statement in their life. And so I want to encourage whoever had a birthday yesterday that God is implanting a new I am sentence that is going to bring them into a new season. So last time I preached here, it was a very funny Sunday because if you remember rightly, I didn't even really want to preach last time. I think every day just about rang Matt and said, Matt, can you please preach because I'm not feeling it. And anyway, I worked through my stuff. I'm going to be honest because we all have stuff, right? We all have things where we're like, do I really have anything to say? Have I really got something? And so I remember getting up here and God said to me one thing. He said, Karina, you can do it in your own strength or you can just lean back into me. And it was at that point that I said into the microphone, I've got some notes, but actually, you know what? I'm just going to go where God wants to go. And so that Sunday for me was pretty amazing because we had some pretty cool stuff happen. We had the duct tape fall onto Matt's head from up there. And I looked a couple of days later going, where in the world did that duct tape even fall from? Because there's not actually any evidence of duct tape up there. And then John Clark was sitting over there about where Jacko was and his phone told us the Hebrew word for wisdom. And it was just this really beautiful morning of creating space for what God wanted to do. Yeah. And so I wanted to just carry on. I felt like what I shared with you was the beginning of a message, but I want to share part two to that. Is that okay?
Yes.
And I feel like as a family, I feel like we're really going after this idea of the presence of God, the face of God, the fear of the Lord, all these things that our lives align with who He is. And in aligning in who He is, we find who we are. And so I want to share a little bit around that this morning with you. You know what I came to realize after I preached that message? I realized that in my life, I'd had a lot of relationship with God in my head. Had a lot of conversation where it would be like, yeah, God, I love you. Yeah, God, I know that you love me. Yeah, God, I know you're here. But it was all head stuff. And so I've been on this journey since I preached last of going, God, how do I align my life to live in the fullness? Because you see, our head doesn't experience the fullness. Our heads only experience a part of it. And so I could tell you that God loved me, but there's more to that. And I've been thinking a lot about the story of Moses, how Moses saw God do so much. He saw God in his most vulnerable, desperate moments do stuff. But Moses simply asked for one thing. I want to see you. I want to see your face. And so this stirring within me, this longing has been awakened that I don't know if I felt for a while actually, because I realized that sometimes we're scared of longing. Sometimes longings create this sense of, well, God, I've got this real longing for your face, but what if I don't see it? And we've had disappointments and we've had things happen that make us go, well, God, I didn't really see you come through there. Or, you know, I had this great ambition to be this and I'm here. And we very quickly turn down the longing within us and the desire within us because, man, I don't want to face disappointment. I don't want to face the fact that maybe I'm not going to step into all of that is. And so when I was down on the floor earlier, I was having an encounter with Jesus. I think this fell off my scarf, but it's a label. And I felt like this morning, God wants to take some labels off us. He doesn't want us to live in disappointment any longer. He doesn't want us to live in anything less than who he says we are. And who he says we are is really, really amazing. But in order to step into that, we have to align ourselves. We have to take some steps to actually experience something new. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because often what we do when we are vulnerable, I don't know about you, but our society teaches us, if I'm vulnerable and I've got a need and I've got a desire, just do something about it. This is where education comes in. So we're like, maybe I want to help people, so I'll go to university and I'll train to be a psychologist because then I've now got some education. Do you know, we've put knowledge in a place that I don't think God necessarily ever intended knowledge to be. Because I think God wants to meet us right there. Because when you look at God and you read every story in this Bible, he doesn't find us at the end of that training and then tell us what to do. He's actually found right at the beginning. But so often we're living with this half-hearted relationship with God, waiting for our lives to align with what we think needs to happen in order to step into the fullness of that. And I believe that God wants to take us into a new season of actually recognizing his face and recognizing his presence right here, right now. And I believe that there's some ways that we can do that that will actually bring transformation into our lives. So if you can remember, we read from Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to read this scripture again. Isaiah 11 verse 2. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." I want to stop there and tell you that the Spirit of understanding and the Spirit of knowledge are two very different things. And I love that in the scripture, they're not even put together in the same sentence. Well, they are in the same sentence, but they're not put together as two words. So what is the Spirit of understanding? Because I've always put understanding and knowledge together. Because if I've got the knowledge, it all makes sense, then therefore I've got understanding. But I don't think that's what Isaiah's talking about here. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." I think it's really interesting that the Spirit of understanding might be a whole lot less to do with knowledge and our thinking than what we thought. And I want to propose to you this morning that actually the Spirit of understanding is in alignment with his presence. It's in alignment with his face. And when we understand that, we position our lives in a completely different way. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You see, I think we want the end thing. We want the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, but actually it begins way back. It begins first by making a decision in our hearts. I'm not going to question your presence any longer, God. I had to make that decision in my heart some years back when I used to think God's presence was defined by my circumstances and everything aligning. And then when things would get tough, like last Sunday when I was lying in bed, last Sunday would have been a prime example where I'd go, "God, where are you and why am I in bed sick?" I don't have permission to do that anymore because God's right there in my sickness. So actually, I made a decision in my heart probably about 6 or 7 years ago where I was like, "God, I'm a sensitive person. I can have doubts, but I refuse to let that doubt transform into a question of your presence with me because the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." This is the model of Jesus. This is the model for our life. So God's already said, the Spirit will rest upon you. Whatever your circumstances, whatever's happening, the Spirit of God is resting upon you. We have to believe that. We can't let go of that one truth. And from that, we'll find the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. You see, I've come to realize there is no greater treasure than recognizing his presence is there. I remember last Sunday when my head was thumping and I was feeling really miserable. I was just like, "Wow, God, you're here. Like, that is amazing. You're right here." Now, it took 3 days for me to get healed and I'm thankful that I feel a whole lot better now. But you know what? We can't use our circumstances to question whether he's resting. The Spirit shall rest. But do you know what? Sometimes I think we're running around and we're trying to fix things and we're trying to learn things and we're trying to understand things that we miss the simple fact that the Spirit is resting. And what does that look like? Surrender. Wow, God, you're here. When my head's thumping, you're here. Wow, God, when this is happening, you are here. Do you know the peace, the stillness that that brings to our hearts when we no longer question His Spirit being there? I really have a dream that we can become a family that learns to see the world as His presence being here. Because when we see His presence there, all things are possible. To the spirit of wisdom and understanding. So I've been meditating on the spirit of understanding. Now, I've taken understanding away from knowledge, okay? So I'm not talking about learn every single scripture in the Bible and you'll have understanding. Okay, that for me is not what God's talking about because remember, knowledge is further down the list. So what is He talking about when He says the spirit of understanding? And I've come to realize God is a God of delight. He's a God of wonder. He's a God of majesty. He's a God who's creative. He is all in all. I actually wonder if the spirit of understanding is simply in alignment with who He is. The spirit of understanding opens our hearts and our eyes and our very being to His presence. Because that is actually, when we understand the treasure of His presence, that's more than enough for us. We can take hold of that and it changes how we see absolutely everything. But that means that in a circumstance, I have to lay down my understanding of it. You see, the spirit of understanding is all about Him. So what happens is, so last Sunday, I'm going to give you this example. Last Sunday, I'm in bed and I'm sick and I feel really miserable. My first thing is, wow, God, you're here. The Spirit is resting upon me. The spirit of understanding. Wow, God, you're so beautiful. Wow, God, all hope is found in you. Wow, God, you can do absolutely anything at any stage. I'm just going to stop and become aware and marvel at who you are. Do you know what I was thankful for in those 3 days? I look back on those 3 days of being sick. God actually showed me some rhythms in my life that weren't fully in line with rest and what He was actually saying. I'd had 3 months without a single day off. It's not that healthy to do 3 months without a single day off. And so I had to make some adjustments. I learned some things. Now that's where the knowledge bit comes. But if we try and bring the knowledge thing before the understanding, I think we miss it. And it becomes about something that God never intends to actually be talking to us about. Wisdom and understanding. Wisdom positions us to take hold of all that He is and all that is available to us in a moment. It's not about our circumstances. And you know what? Knowledge, the fear of the Lord and all those things will come as the fruit and the next layer, but we've got to align our lives with that. We need to learn what it is to live astonished in all moments. Do you know what? I could just stop right now and just talk about who He is for the rest of this thing, and my hope would be you'd go away going, man, He's better than I could have ever imagined. And I could hand this microphone around and each one of you would have a testimony or you'd have a story or you'd have something about who He is. But we need to learn to feed ourselves on that. Yep. We need to learn what it is to steward His face, His presence, His words, His essence. I am astonished that God's presence is closer to me than my breath because my breath is pretty close. I am astonished that He's never given up on me. I am astonished that He looks upon me and He looks upon you and He looks upon Whangarei and He's never given up. I believe that is the spirit of understanding. Because now we're not getting trapped in, we're not getting pulled into all these other things. Because you could say to me, man, Karina, do you know what? Whangarei's not doing too well. You know, we've not got that good business stuff and we've not got this great stuff happening. And you know what? I'll turn around and say, when was the last time you saw His face? He says her face is hopeful and he is sitting on his throne at peace about Whangarei. That is the answer. But how do we align ourselves with that? How do we position ourselves that I no longer am going to get pulled into all that? The turmoil, the chaos, the negativity, the disappointment, the lost hope, the all of that. How do I align my life? And I think it's simply by letting his presence rest upon you. I believe it's that simple. When we live a life that's astonished by who he is, hope and joy automatically follow us. You are invited into hope and joy. You don't have to, you know, we sing that song, Get Your Hopes Up, or, and, you know, that's okay. But actually, if you remember who he is and you just look upon his face, you can't help but be filled with hope. And you can't help but experience joy because he's with you. I just felt this morning God wanted to just simply say to you, take some labels off. If it's disappointment, if it's offense, if it's whatever it is, take them off and look afresh at his face. Become amazed that he's never given up. Become amazed that even when Adam and Eve only did the one thing that God said not to do. Now, I've got kids, so I'm often telling them what's good and what's not good to do. But I give them lots of things. God gave one thing. Don't eat that fruit. One simple thing. There was many other pieces of fruit. They were not hungry. They did not need to eat that apple. One simple thing. And they ate the fruit. Then what happened? God did not turn his back at that moment. Jesus comes to show us a new way. We don't like him. And we get upset. We put him on a cross. He did not turn away. He stayed present. In the midst of the most incredible pain, he stayed present. Why? Because that's who he is. I want to become astonished by that. Because you know what? If you tried to put me on a cross, I'd probably not be able to turn to the Father and say, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. I think the pain of that moment might override any sense of what would be a good response. I don't know about you. I'm just being real about it. Pain can get to that point for me where I lose the ability to actually see a bigger picture, right? Jesus never lost the bigger picture. Isn't that astonishing? He's in pain. He's in agony. He's about to die in the most horrific death, and he holds the bigger picture. He holds a big picture for Whangarei, and nothing that you say or do or anybody else is going to change that. Let's become astonished with who he is. You know, I think too often we've talked about what we've seen him do, and I'm all for the testimonies of what he does. But I want to become more astonished with who he is than what he does. I want to become more astonished with what his face looks like. I want to become more astonished with his kindness. I want to become more astonished with his compassion and his mercy than simply his power and what he does with his hands. Because when I can become aligned with that, it can't help but spill over. When those of you going to Whangarei go this afternoon, if you walk into Whangarei astonished with who he is, that can't help but impact Whangarei. He's got a good plan for Whangarei. I'm so excited, Bailey, that you're following that up. Thank you for caring for that community. It's so beautiful. Let's become a people that communicate with one another from a place of astonishment and wonder. And let's leave it at that point. Let's become a people that go, wow, God, and all of that. You know, like I said to God on Sunday night, I said, God, I'm so amazed that you stayed with me when I was sick because I was actually a bit grumpy. I'm sure the rest of my family were really pleased I was in bed for some of the day. Go, God, I'm astonished by that. How can you not ever turn away? How can you not ever take the smile off your face? Even when I'm mad at you, you just stay the same. I want to become astonished by that. So my mornings now look like I just wake up and I just go, wow. I want to live a life of wow. I want to live a life of wonder. I don't ever want to become familiar with his presence that I forget what is available to me. Because when I step into wonder, when I step into astonishment, everything else just comes like it's further away. You know, the things that feel like they're the biggest things. I don't know, maybe you need healing. Maybe you need breakthrough. Maybe you need finances. You know what? Let's lay those things down and let's become astonished with his face. Let's remember, even on our worst days, his presence is still there. When we become astonished by that, we receive something that helps us either see it differently, experience it differently, or we will see the breakthrough. I just think it's a better way to live. I have this longing that I can have more moments when I live fully alive. That's my one longing right now. And I don't think there's anything other than his presence that makes me fully alive. So what am I saying? I'm saying I have this longing for every moment of every day. I live it aware of his presence. Because if I do that, everything else will change. The knowledge will come further down the track, but actually it all begins by becoming aware of his presence. Aren't you amazed that even after the garden and what happened there with Adam and Eve, that God never gave up? Aren't you amazed that even when Jesus came and some people were for him and some were against him, God never gave up? Aren't you amazed that God made a decision way back before the foundation that he would establish his kingdom on earth? Doesn't that amaze you? It amazes me. I just go, God, that's so radical. It's crazy. I am amazed that he's interested in me. That's enough for me. When I wake up in the morning, I'm like, God, you're interested. You're amazed by me. And it's not because I'm amazing. I'm me. I'm grumpy in the morning. I'm not a morning person. He's still there and he's still amazed by me. And not only that, he's invested. So he chooses for that eternal kingdom to be where? In me and in you. Doesn't that amaze you? It amazes me. And I think sometimes we have to be careful that we don't just preach messages around knowledge rather than simply just stopping and becoming aware and just stopping and going, wow, God, that is crazy. I'm amazed that after all the mistakes that I've made in my life, that he is totally still not giving up on me. That he's still teaching me how to train. He is still training me how to reign. Doesn't that amaze you? That he's still not given up on you? That amazes me. I think, Elise, you put something on Facebook about that. And I was like, Elise, you and I are talking the same language. I want us to become a people that are not stuck waiting for God to do something, but instead, you know, when that duct tape fell down on Matt's head, it fell down when we were talking about becoming unstuck, right? And we were talking about how do we become unstuck? We become unstuck by his face. I was talking about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is, God, your face, your presence, your very essence is bigger than everything else. That's what the fear of the Lord is. So in this moment, when I'm talking about becoming unstuck, whatever it is that you're waiting for, whatever it is that you're believing for, if you can let that go long enough to become amazed by his face, you will have a different today. You'll have a different moment. And don't you think it's crazy that after everything we did as human beings, that God would want to give his rule and reign to us. Does that not amaze you? That blows my mind. We haven't got a very good track record. And yet in that, he's like, I want to give my rule and reign. This is my beautiful friend in worship. We were having beautiful moments, weren't we? I love those moments of interaction. You know, I love the fact that God is the initiator. Our lives really get to be the responder. And so I love watching that little baby in worship and I was pulling these little faces and he was imitating me. And it just reminded me, that's what it's like with God. God initiates with us and I just get to respond like that little baby did to me. You know, he'd put his head on the side and I'd sort of rock in my chair and then he'd start rocking. You know, that's what our life is. We just get to imitate this most incredible, compassionate, merciful, kind, loving, good God. That's it. It's that simple. Let's not overcomplicate it with knowledge and all these other things. Let's just become aware of who he is. But you know what? His kingdom has a currency. There is a currency of his kingdom. And I've been thinking a lot about this in terms of my life and what is it that I've actually put into practice in my life. Because the currency that he gives us, obviously everything he does is in love, but I've been thinking a lot about the currency of faith. The currency of faith isn't always this great big roaring lion making this great courageous declaration. Sometimes faith is as simple as sitting and trusting. Sometimes faith is as simple as I am going to choose rest. It's what I did last Sunday. I didn't ask God why he wasn't going to heal me. I said to God, well, God, obviously you and I have got some time together. What would you like to talk about? He started talking to me about trust. And he said to me, he said, Karina, I've loved watching you learn the rhythm of rest and peace in your life. He said, I'm so proud of you for that. He said, and you're doing so well at doing that every day. But in his kindness, he said, but Karina, you haven't looked at each week. He's like, look back in your diary. You've not had a single day off with nothing on for 3 months. He said, I want to teach you the rhythm of rest in a week. I'm so thankful for that. Did God cause me to get sick? No, he didn't. Not saying God causes sickness, but I am saying that his presence is there and we can live and wonder. Don't you think that that's crazy that God would come and have that conversation with me while I'm sick in bed? That amazed me. He wants to have those conversations with you. He wants to teach you the rhythm of rest so that his spirit can truly rest upon you. He wants to teach you what it is to just live astonished, like that little baby did in worship with me. Just eyes on him. So that little baby's eyes were anywhere else. They were just looking at me. And I was just making some faces, and it just simply made those faces straight back. That's as simple as life really is. And when we learn to live like that, we will change the world. But while our eyes aren't on him, and they're on, I don't know, I watched a documentary the other night that, you know, when you watch something that really moves your heart, not only was I crying through this whole documentary, I was, you know, doing the, not breathing properly. I don't know if anybody else does that, but anyway, I was watching this documentary and I cried. I don't know how many tissues I went through, probably half a box of tissues through this whole documentary. And at the end of it, I was like, man, God, I want to be part of seeing that change. And God asked me a simple question. He said, what is your intention? And I said, because I don't like to see people suffer. And he said, I'll take you there. Do you know, the very next day an email came from an organization that invited me into something. And I was like, God, that is so crazy that that even happens. Like, I don't even know how that even happened. But you see, I don't want to become overwhelmed by that. I bawled my eyes out. Yeah, my heart was moved by it. I didn't like to see the pain. It was about the lost boys in Sudan. And so obviously it's close to home for me because of my work in Africa and many other things. But I was like, God, I hate war. And God's like, so do I, Karina. Let's have a conversation about that. But you see, in the past, I would be like, oh my gosh, I need to stop those wars. And I would start the busy cycle of trying to do something to fix something in order to make it okay. I can't do anything, but I can have a conversation with him and I can invite him into it. And the very next day, he opened a door that was crazy to me because I never saw that door even coming. And so I said to Paul something and he's like, I didn't see that coming, Karina. I said, no, I know you probably didn't see it coming, but, you know, that's how God works. That is how life is. But I want to encourage you, let's become a people that understand this communion with God. I've given you some simple stories of what conversation with God has looked like in my week, from being sick to watching this documentary that made me bawl my eyes out to an open door that God has opened. That's how he works. You've got a part to play, but it's not that you're going to go out there and fix Whangarei or Otangarei or any of those things. No, we get to live and wonder. We get to have conversations with him, and he'll open the doors, and he'll make a way that we will walk it in rest. The Spirit is resting upon us. So I want to encourage you, don't get caught up in knowledge and simply just trying to make sense of it all. Live in wonder. Live in the fact that on the day when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he didn't lose the big picture. I can honestly tell you, I would have lost the big picture. I know enough about neurology and how the brain works to tell you I would have been in the terror response in my brain and I probably wouldn't have been thinking more than 1 second ahead of me. They're just being real about it. But here's Jesus, human, hanging on a cross, able to hold a big picture. He holds big pictures really well. He holds a big picture for your life, for your family's life, for your community, for your nation and for nations. What's our part? He's teaching us to rule and reign. He invites us to a face-to-face living experience and relationship with him. That's all it is. And when we walk in that, he does the most craziest of things. I was watching a movie because I still wasn't feeling well. And I think, God, you didn't even talk to me about that. I just thought, well, I'm not feeling that great. I'm just going to put on a movie. Because that's kind of what you do when you're sick, hey? You try and fill the time because, you know, you're not quite yourself. He uses absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. I've seen him do things that I could never have imagined simply because that's who he is, not even because I've asked. You know what? I decided in my prayer life, I've given 90% of my prayer life now to simply being astonished by him, because that, for me, brings me into an alignment with who he is. And when I've got a picture of who he is, everything else comes into its rightful place because everything moves and breathes and have its being in him. So if I want to see that, actually it's all about him. You've all gone very quiet. You're resting, that's good. Resting is a glorious thing. You know what, if we can simply let go of all of our ideas and our agendas and all of that and simply become astonished by his face, he will bring beyond our wildest dreams into our reality. And so when I preached that message, isn't he so cute? You can see why I was taken in worship. Oh, look, I could get very distracted. But you know what? This is the model of our life. It's all about relationship. If you please leave it, he's totally okay. Absolutely, absolutely. I'm just helping myself so that you know. But this is what it looks like. When I said before, God is standing there. He's initiating something. We just get to respond to that. It really is that simple. He's too cute. So it's all about relationship. It's all about alignment. Do you know, I want to read verse 3 of Isaiah, if you've still got your Bibles open, Isaiah 11, verse 3. I know, sorry those that have the passion, you don't have Isaiah yet, but it's okay, it is in the Bible. All right, verse 3 says, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. I want to stop there and say that is a picture of relationship. What's it saying? Jesus will not judge by what he sees and what he hears, but through righteousness he will judge. This is why relationship with God is so vital. It's not what you see. It's not what you hear. It's relationship with him. And when we have that relationship with him, righteousness is about right standing with him. So what is he doing? What is he saying? When I step into that, then I will get to actually rule and reign as he designed us to rule and reign. Even Jesus, Isaiah says, he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge. So, relationship is such a big deal to God. You know, we've talked about relationship as a term in the kingdom to do with right standing with God, but it really is simply relationship with him. So rather than just seeing and hearing things, so on Sunday the seeing and hearing part would be, I feel really sick, so it wasn't just seeing and hearing for me, it was feeling, my head felt like it was going to fall off, and many other things. It would have been very easy to make the judgment that, Karina, you're incredibly sick, and God do something about it. That would have been a really logical process that many of us would have gone through. But you see, I've been meditating on this, so I'm like, I don't want to do it from me, I want to do it from us. Because righteousness is not just about God, it's about us. So that conversation I had with God after watching that documentary, God, I really hate war. And he said, Karina, I really hate war too. He began a conversation that opened a door because that's what righteousness does. You see, I think righteousness, we've got to move it into a lifestyle that I'm not going to judge just by what I see or what I hear or what I feel. I'm going to judge from us. He's so cute, eh, Matt? So this morning, I want to invite you to take off any labels. You know I've heard people say, oh, it's all right for you, Karina. You just have this amazing communion with God. That is an absolute lie. We all have the absolute same access. There is no differing favor on the access of God. It's what we do with it. So how are you stewarding it? What does it look like to have his face beyond everything else after you've sobbed your way through a documentary on the lost boys in Sudan? What do you do with that? That really is the difference. And I want to encourage you to bring that into a place before his face. Whatever it is, he wants to do something with you. We get to live before his face, and if that doesn't astound you, I'm not sure what will, because that's ultimately what it's all about. I want to live every moment fully alive, and fully alive is with him, fully alive. So how do I steward that? Well, it looks like asking God simple questions. Or just even having that conversation like I did. God, I hate wars. And he turned to me and said, Karina, so do I. You see, I've now got an alignment with all of heaven. Simply from turning my attention and letting him in. The first thing we have to do is learn to be real with God. People have talked about desire. So when I say that I hate wars, that creates a desire within me to want to stop wars. Sometimes we're scared of desire because we go, well, what happens if I find myself way down this track trying to change this war and God, you're not in that? We're a little bit scared of desire. But you know what? When you bring any desire or longing into the presence of God, even if it's not in alignment, he'll change it. Like he did with the disciples that were both wanted to be at the left and right of Jesus. They took their desire and their longing to Jesus. And what did he do? He said, hey, guys, you don't know what you're asking me. Don't be scared of your longing and your desires, but bring them into a place of righteousness. Righteousness is relationship. Bring them into that place. Because when we can do that, God can do his part. And he wants to do a whole lot. So this morning, I want to take us on a little bit of a journey. Can I have the worship team come back up? Isn't he so beautiful? I just feel like God wants to invite us back to that place. You know, Jesus talked to the churches and he said to them, he said, you've done all this, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this, but what? You've lost your first love. First love is astonishment. First love is God above all. It's all about you. It's about your face. It's about your presence. It's all about you. That is first love. First love is he seems bigger. I don't know if many of you remember when you first fell in love with somebody. It's like you can't stop thinking about them. It's like they're always there. You start to wonder what they're doing. You're just drawn into this journey. That's first love. He wants to invite us into first love this morning. He wants to invite us into face to face where his presence is bigger than anything else. So I want to invite you to stand up this morning. God, I thank you that you invite us into the most astonishing relationship. God, I thank you that you are so merciful, that you are so compassionate, that your face towards us never changes. God, we want to see you this morning. And God, this morning, we want to say we're sorry, where that sense of your presence has simply just become familiar to us. Or where offense has come or disappointment and we've just kind of stopped along the way. God, will you stir the longing and desire for nothing more than your presence within us right now? Stir the longing and desire. Wow, we want to become overwhelmed by you. Overwhelmed by you. You to have a look at for a little moment in your heart or your soul, your mind, wherever you need to, and look at all the things that are happening in your life. Maybe it's job, maybe it's finances, maybe it's health, maybe it's relationship, whatever it is. I want you just to take a look at your life for a minute. And as you take a look at that, I want you to bring all of that and make a conscious decision, as we sang earlier, then in all of that, I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for you, Jesus. Give me Jesus. I say yes to Jesus. I want you just to stir that longing and desire in your own heart. I want you just to look upon his face and I want you just to comment to him about what you're seeing. Maybe you see the fire in his eyes or you feel the breath against your skin. Ha, the breath of God, he loves to breathe on us. I want you to become aware of who he is for you right now. You've believed lies about the nearness of his presence. You've used comparison. You've made judgments or assumptions. I want you just to give those to Jesus. And I want you just to allow him to stir the longing and the desire in your heart afresh this morning. all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. Let's give thanks to Him for how you're experiencing. If you're feeling some fire, if you're feeling whatever you're feeling, maybe you're feeling peace. Don't look at the person beside you. I want you just to give thanks for how He is with you right now. For your spirit to rest. Your spirit to rest. Your spirit to rest. Hearing from, I don't know if Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, whoever you're experiencing right now. And I want you just to think about, what does a response to what it is that I'm hearing right now, what does it sound like? Because I feel like this city wants to hear the sounds of beloved sons and daughters simply living in response to their Father. God, we choose this morning to be a family that will not judge by what we see or what we hear, but from relationship with you. And this is relationship with you. It's face to face. It's face to face. Give me Jesus. But as we sing this, I want us to sing this not just from our heads, because we know this song. I want us to sing it from a place of, this is my longing, this is my desire. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. This is my longing. I want to live every moment fully alive, and fully alive looks like with you. It looks like with you. Open up the altar if you want to come as a declaration that, yeah, Jesus, I'm choosing you above all else. If you want to kneel, if you want to sit, if you want to stand, if you want to raise your hands, whatever it looks like to respond to His presence this moment, this morning. Just want to create a place for His presence.